Blog Talk Radio.
Another glorious Wednesday, and you know what time it is, honey, so get your cuppets together because it's time to dish tea. And you're dishing tea, darlings, with Big Meat. Hey, babies. Oh, honey, 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 honey. Ah, y'all already know, honey, over across the world, you know, the heat is on cooker bitch thoroughly, honey. Everybody burning up, cooking up, basting in their own juices. Some of you drying out because you've been on the grill too long. This heat is just something else. And then the humidity on top of it, honey. I'm asthmatic, so I'm sitting up here half breathing. I'm on fumes because I was at my donut factory job and things, honey. And, you know, yeah. So, but, you know, don't let that get twisted or anything, because with my guest today, honey, I'm telling you, this is going to be a fun-filled show, because this here baby, I'll introduce them in just a moment. Okay, because if y'all ain't caught it from these vocals on this opening song, you're in for a dynamic, dynamic treat. Let me say thank you for all of your love and your support. If you're tuning in right now by the computer and wish to join in on the conversation, you have questions, comments, or concerns with our guest as we get rolling, please call in at 347-205-9183. That's 347-205-9183. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, dear meets letters, need some advice, got show ideas or whatever, please go to the Facebook page, Dishing Tea with Big Meech. Now, I have to say this because y'all know Facebook is all iffy and it's cute, but you know, Facebook gets a little bit that way. If you search it, Dishing Tea with Big Meech, you're going to see there's two pages. They're both mine. One says entertainment, the other says radio station. Go to the one that says entertainment. That's the one I go to most. Yeah, and for those of you who don't know the story, yeah, they popped my page once, and I went to rebuild some things, and then they reinstated it. So now I got two of everything. Oh, yeah. But go to the Dishing Tea with Big Meech Entertainment. That's the one I go to most often, and you'll be able to post any and everything there. The .com is coming soon. My webpage is coming. I keep saying that, but we're having snags with it, and I want it to be a stellar page, you know, so that I'm branding myself. You know, I'm being a businesswoman. Oh. So I want to brand it correctly, so that it has its appeal for everyone, okay? So until the .com, the official dishingtea.com comes up, go to the Facebook page and you can get all the information there. I post all of the announcements for the shows and this, that, and the other. Take all of your advice and your questions and stuff there, okay? Okay. Now, let me go right here because I want you to know something. This is my disclaimer for the show. This show is for mature audiences, and the language and subject matters are not appropriate for children or anyone who is not mature to handle the discussion or the subject matter. So your listening discretion is advised. Again, I say your listening discretion is advised. Now, for those of you who don't know me, honey, Big Meech has a potty mouth. I make no excuses for it. I'm 41 years old. I've earned it. So I don't know what bag I'm coming out of. Just know that I'm coming out of one. And if you're in a place that is your job or somewhere where there's a lot of kids around or whatever, make sure that you govern yourselves accordingly, okay? Because I'm telling you, I'm not accepting no letters about you bitches sitting up there getting mad at me because you didn't govern yourselves accordingly. Now, I'm telling you now, listen. Your listening discretion is advised, okay? Now, the tea room is open, or the chat room. It's open over there. Hello, guest number 3109 and guest number 3215. Because you guys are not doing set up a profile page, you won't be able to engage in the discussion if there's any there. However, you'll be able to read all the comments as folks come in, if they come in, and want to chat, okay? So I'm saying hello to you. But if you're going to go over there, please dish your tea in there responsibly, darling. It is the written word. And sometimes what happens is as we're reading it, we tend to put our own inflections on stuff and thinking that somebody done said it this way or done neck rolled it that way. And it may not be the case. So don't go throwing your computers and stuff into walls and slamming car doors or whatever you're going to do to get upset. Just understand it's the written word. So it's okay to disagree. Just don't be disagreeable. Because if I see you over there getting, you know, persnickety and things, I will cut your ass and be done with it. Okay? Aha. So, Now, yeah, how about that? I told you I'm giddy right now, and I'm on fumes, so, honey, I'm slap happy, and for a very, very, very good reason. Today's show, though I know what the term old school is, it really doesn't apply here because I don't want to say old school. What I want to say is I have legends on today's program who have been musically. They have helped shape my life, and I'm sure countless others who have come along have been on this ride. It's been a wonderful ride, honey. And we're going to go into every facet of why they call themselves the emotions, honey. Yes, 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 yes. Miss Wanda, Miss Sheila, Miss Jeanette, Miss Pam. Then they had Teresa, and then they had Adrian in it a couple of times. So we're going to get into all of that, okay, and understand what it was, where they came from, where they're going, what's happening now. Now, before I bring them in, I have to say hello to my sponsors very, very quickly. I'm going to call you all by name as we go in. I will then interject here and there when we need to take a break or do like a little commercial break, okay, and do it live. Trey Day Management and PR firm, I say thank you to you. Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge down in the underground Atlanta, hello to you. Pharaoh's Treasure Box, hello, darlings, over there in Detroit, Michigan. Parisian Wine Productions, hello to you out there in New York City. Eachem Vidal Couture, New York and Atlanta and Michigan. Hello to you. Big Brothers Network, hey babies over there, my big boys over there. I want to say hello to the CABC, the Caribbean American Boys Entertainment Enterprises. Hello to you. Kissing After Dark, hello to you, darling, in the Atlanta area. And also Swirl Films, the number one urban film production company in America. So those are my sponsors today. As I said, I'll be giving them their commercials and their shout-outs later on throughout the program. And also, I want you guys to know, yours truly has written a book. I want you guys to go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/awakebigmeech, and order your copy today of Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey. Yes, I am a published author now, and I'm doing it independently. Of course, I self-published, and it's wonderful. This is a wonderful journey for me, and I would love all of your support and things. And for every book that you buy, I do personally autograph them. I would not just thank you for your support. I would give you a heartfelt inscription and all of that, okay? So for more information, just go to facebook.com/awakebigmeech, okay? So now, let's get things moving right along. Baby, when I tell you, most of y'all know them because you've heard hits like Best of My Love. You've heard Flowers. You know I Don't Want to Lose Your Love. You know Don't Ask My Neighbor. But today, I'm going to go to spoof them, and I'm going to pull your hair back because some of the music I'm going to be playing today is going to be stuff that they probably haven't heard in a while and probably forgot to put back in the show from over the years and all of that. And it will probably introduce you to some of the stuff that they've done. And then we're going to let you hear the new single that they have coming out soon on the new project. And right now, without any further ado, without any further adulations and carrying on like that, without any further fanfare, this is Miss Wanda and Miss Sheila, two of the members of the group known as The Emotions. Hello there, my sisters. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on in and being a part of my world. How are you on this day?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, yes. It's a beautiful day.
Okay.
We're doing fine.
Hey, girl.
Yeah, she was out here. It's just, okay.
Okay, go ahead. No, say it, honey.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah, this is Pam.
Oh, hey, Pam. Okay.
Yeah, she said our new song, Life.
Hi.
Do you like it?
Oh, honey, do I like it, honey. It is what is needed. When I heard it, I was like, oh, wow, that is so refreshing. And it is very, it has that swing. You know, y'all brought that swing back that we like. And it has that little groove, you know, and it reminds me of, you know, the family reunion, the barbecue, not the real slow songs that everybody loved. You know, everybody loved playing family reunion, you know.
Yeah.
And but this one has that upswing to it, so it makes you want to move. It gets you happy. It makes you reminisce. And you know, for those who we may have lost along the way, it keeps you in happy memories of them, and it doesn't make you somber, you know, and all of that. Oh, I wish they was here, because you feel their spirit because they're already there. I love that. I love it. I love it. And I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Well, you know, when you said Big Meech, is it Big Meech? How do you spell your last name when I go on the computer?
It's Meech. Think of bleach, but add an M, but instead of the B-L, put an M, Meech.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes, and that's been my name all of my life. My mother named me Demetrius, and if you know anybody, most of us who are named Demetrius have been called Meechy or Meech or whatever. And, of course, as I've gotten older, we dropped a little cutesy little E, you know, the chi-chi off of it, so I'm just Meech. Okay.
All right.
So let's get started, my sisters. I just had to play that opening song because ain't no doubt about it. Okay, ain't no doubt about it. Ain't no doubt about it. I have been a fan of yours for most of my life. I will say that you guys came into my consciousness around the Flowers and the Rejoice album time period. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And since that time, you have been instrumental with your music and with helping to shape not just myself but an entire generation. Today's producer of the show, he goes by Meechy DeVere. I called him Little Meech. Wanted to be in, but Meechy got called on the set. She's working on the movie that we're both working on called When Love Was Simple. So he's not going to be in today. However, he's one who... it's like, honey, I own everything that they've recorded. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of my music stolen, so I'm replacing stuff that I had once upon a tither. So I'm going to get started, and I'm going to ask, let's go back to the days when we were known as the Hutchinson Sunbeams.
Oh.
Okay. Yes, we want to take it all the way back to the beginning. Okay, and let's go there so that folks can hear the evolution of coming out of the Hutchinson Sunbeams into being the Emotions. Because I want to know, how did you come up with that name? You know, we all know Hutchinson is the family name. But to come up with the Emotions, you know, during that transition, what was that like?
My father came up with the Emotions because when we would sing at the gospel churches and people would just have to go down the aisle and cry and shout for joy, you know, they would be showing their emotions, and that's when my dad came up with it.
Oh, well, that's simple.
Yeah.
Wow. So y'all have brought the spirit in, honey. And all that emotion and carrying on. I love that. That's so simple. I love it. Okay, so now, in the beginning, there were, Pam, you were still just a little tight, if you were here yet. You know, there was Jeanette, there was Wanda, and there was Sheila. So now, during all of that time, you know, as you girls were shaping, did you find it difficult to stay in the church arena, or was it easier to make the transition? How was that for you, particularly in that time period when we as a culture, you know, were looking at secular music as the devil and carrying on, and, you know, you guys were building a career?
You know, what was very good is that we were raised in Chicago. And we would go to the church over there where, what's the name, Mahalia Jackson. And we would sing a lot of acapella songs, and my father sang with us. And that's, we were like 7, 8, 9 years old. And Mahalia asked my father one time, why you got that girl singing them hard harmonies like that? And, he didn't realize they were that hard, but she thought they were. So we did four-part harmony, and we would do Aretha, and then we would do country western songs, one of the old Danny Boy, and then she was like, you just taught them everything, and he wanted us to know all facts. of music, so we would cover every demographic. But when we went to change to rock and roll or rhythm and blues, my grandmother was the biggest, I think, person that was offended. She said, "Why are y'all singing that devil music?" And grandma, it's not devil music, it's still music, but it's music about love and relationships between, you know, people and lovers, and that's something that's missing. But, you know, I said he's still in there because God's love.
Oh, you better say that. Okay, okay. Ooh, see that was the answer that I said when I was 14. I was in the Pentecostal church at that time, and they used to tell us that listening to Michael Jackson and carrying on was of the devil. I said, well, how is it when God gave everybody the music? I'm not understanding that. You know, wow. Okay, so we were able to move past that, and from what I'm hearing, Pops was just into the music itself. He, you know, the approach that he took.
Yeah, they were a big part of our beginning. You remember the Staple Singers' brother, Purvis Staple, and my father were good friends.
Were your managers, and, right.
He's the one got us with Sax Radio, Sax Records, at that time where Isaac Hayes was.
Yeah, now what was that like?
Work
with old Isaac.
Oh, yes. I always wanted to meet him because Mavis Staples made such a great, she had such love for him and the people that were at Sax at that time. Al Bell, you know, was the president of Sax. And then you had Chef, that did Chef. Had Mad Lad, you had all those singers out of Memphis there, and that had gospel backgrounds also. And Betty Crutcher, Rufus Thomas.
Oh, yes.
Paula Thomas. You remember G. Williams?
Oh, my God, girl, you pulling out the names.
Mm-hmm. All of them were there. It was a big family when we went there in 68, 69. That was So I Can Love You. Came out of a family singing group. My father's group sang in Terre Haute, Indiana. That's where we got the Hutchinson Sunday from.
Okay.
And also,
wow.
as far as the emotion name, it really came about when they were around 14, 15, and 16, when they were teenagers. And by that time, they were pretty emotional. My dad used to always say how emotional they are, and not only how they how the people respond to them, but they're dramatic.
Okay.
You know, especially Sheila. Especially Sheila, you know, most people know that when they see our show.
Okay, right, because see, now my whole take is Sheila has always seemed to have been delayed back when Pam. From what I remember as a child or whatever, you and Wanda have always seemed to have been the outgoing personalities of the group. You know, y'all would sit there, y'all would ride it, y'all have those sopranos and carrying on. Sheila had always seemed to be the one that was more reserved. But I've always come to know that the girl that was the reserved 100 was the one that was going to belt. You know, when she get her little part. She's going to let you have it, and then go back to reserve, you know, just demure and feminine, and I love that. I love all that. So now, here we go.
So, I don't know how you can remember us.
Would you know what? See, here's the thing. I have grown up. Yeah, I'm 41, and I've grown up with your music, and then, too, like I said, see, in replacing music and this, that, and the other, I've had to go through and, you know, in my studies and carrying on and find music and this, that, and the other. Plus, too, as a female impersonator, as a part of my acting gigs, I do a lot of your music.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Yes, I do a lot of, one of my favorites is, of course, Key to My Heart. You're the Key to My Heart. which Mary J. Blige has sampled just recently on, you know, one of her tracks and this, that, and the other. And, you know, of course, everyone does Best of My Love. You know, that there's, I think, by far, maybe, probably your best known hit is Best of My Love. And that's still the party starter. I don't care what we do or where we go, honey. You put that song on, it's going to get somebody up and moving, and it's going to get the finger snapping and the card slapping and everybody grabbing the cocktail. Okay. Now, Pam, what was that transition like for you? Now, Jeanette, you know, had come in and out. You know, she wanted to develop a family and this, that, and the other. And, you know, she left the group to do what she had to do to birth the babies, to take care of the babies. You came in, you know.
Well, my dad had trained me all my life. He had trained me. I was always in the rehearsal. And I had my own individual rehearsal with a friend of his from his old group, my Uncle Billy, when they were out doing shows. So I was always constantly, and I had the same range as Jeanette, and, well, all of the girls, actually. And I had to learn all the parts, too, because that was going to be
right.
You know, the utility girl, whatever someone
said. Did you say the utility girl?
And,
stop it.
Yeah, well, that's what Wanda just said. But, you know, I guess it's true, you know, but I had to, yeah, and I had to know all the parts, which was something that they didn't even realize until long after he had gone, and they didn't realize how much I knew of all the parts. Every time they sing one of their old songs that they didn't even do in the show, I had to learn everything, you know, and I was constantly,
wow.
So it was really great, you know, and when I did finally come out and, you know, take Jeanette's place, I was happy, and I was a little nervous, of course, but I was ready. I've always wanted to sing with them, you know, all my life. So I feel like it's just a blessing, and it's great. You know, it's wonderful to enjoy what you do, and I've always enjoyed it.
Adrian and Sheila, right?
Yes, and one time it was me, Adrian, and Sheila, and Wanda was out when she had her kids. That was something. That was really something. You know, we had a lot of bad deals. Yeah, we had a lot of.
Okay.
You know, without a suitcase.
Okay.
Oh gosh. Yeah, because we had, to, but it all worked out in the long run. You know,
when new people would come in, what you're trying to say, when Adrian or Teresa, we had to always deal with people who were in their corner and not necessarily in our family's corner.
Actually, I wasn't really talking about it. We didn't have any problems with each other.
Yeah,
huh?
Business.
Business
with her father wanting to do this
because
he was a judge.
Well, yeah, and then bad business deals, too, people who, you know, who said one thing
right.
And didn't get hurt, you know, so.
Right,
but,
right. But, you know, that there is the interesting, right, the business of all of this. I love asking celebrities this question because all we know, all we know is, you know, the fun of it. You know, we're out here, we're doing our thing. You know, I'm a singer, too. I'm an actor and a singer, an actor who sings. And so, you know, you're on the stage, you do your thing, and all you know is that you're in your world. But when it comes down to that paper, and we got to go contracts, and we got to talk, you know, payments, and we got to do this, and, you know, all the legal stuff, what was that like for you girls, especially when new folks were coming in? You know, it was one thing to have the family dynamic, but then you have outsiders come in. How difficult was that for you to get around?
Other people on the radio, Temptation, The Supremes. I always thought that every time they heard themselves on the radio, they got famous. I mean, I thought that somebody, you know, told me that, but I just figured. But then after, of course, we got in the business, we found out you don't get paid when you're heard on the radio. They pay the record company. And then the record company pays your people after they take out all the money for what it costs to make the album, and then you get what's left. So we never got artist royalties at Zach Records, never.
Yeah.
And we had 44 songs there.
Oh, my God.
And you can go back and get it later, either.
And see, now that's interesting, because Jeanette and Pam didn't, and you said Sheila wrote, but Pam, weren't you producing the stuff as well? Or did that come later?
Not at first.
No.
We were writing.
No, I wasn't.
We got paid our writers, you know, for writing the songs. Like Sheila wrote So I Can Love You. So you got paid for writers, but then we met with our record company. And Daddy was a good guy, and he knew how, he was a steel mill worker, but however we had signed the deal with them, we didn't sign up to get artist royalties. So we couldn't go back home. Go back for them. They said, pass that story, and you guys can't collect that anymore. Now, that's not the way it is now, you know, because you have a union. You know, you have union, Astra, AG, and AFTRA is American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. We would have recorded every song we did and said, these are the songs we sang on, and anything that's released on the radio has an FCC number, which you know is the license. And
it's the, right.
Everybody's name who is voice that is on there, and then you put, we know that now, we just didn't know it. And so not knowing, you can't go back and collect. It's called ignorance is a part of, you know, what you had to go through. So.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow. And see, you girls were young, so we hear that a lot. And, you know, at the time, the industry, you know, had taken advantage of a lot of the young kids, because they did not know business. And so, you know, it's just like a baby cutting their teeth. You know, you got to chew on that ice or whatever in order to get that teeth, the tooth to come through. But that's just a hard lesson. That's just hard lesson. Now, you know, before I go any further, because we're in that particular time, I have to play this because folks just don't understand. I need the folks to know exactly where you girls come from. This here was written by Jeanette, and it is going to play. Come on, computer.
I'm
I say, okay now, ha.
Yeah, that was really far back.
Yeah, sweetie, honey. I said, oh, no, we go. Go ahead, huh? Oh, that was your father.
Yeah.
Who wrote that? Get out of hell. He had y'all screaming, girl. That's the pattern on there, honey. It's up there. That's what makes that, what sets that for me, honey. That scream, honey. I'm like, okay, y'all better sing. Sing again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we went there. And let me ask this question, because during the time that the music started to change, we went out of, you know, that particular sound of the girl groups of the 60s, and we got into the 70s, where most folks were still looking to become solo artists at that time. And we had very few groups, you know. There were the Emotions, and the public had put the Jones Girls as your rivals. You know how you know, the public always does this group over that group or versus this group. So there was you, the Jones Girls. Let's see, there was Alton McLean and Destiny, you know, as a group. The Pointer Sisters were a group, and LaBelle. In the early part of the 70s, were still a group, but more so the Pointer Sisters and LaBelle were the battling group of whatever. But you and the Jones Girls, kind of, y'all ruled the girl groups of the 70s. Was that it creative competition, or was it, or did it get into, you know? Did it go anywhere beyond that? Because I'm telling y'all, honey, please.
Lord, I love the Jones Girls. They could sing their butt off. They really could. And their father knew our father. And, you know, it wasn't like the restraints or anything. I think it was like a healthy adoration that we both had for one another.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I wasn't a baby. I remember meeting them.
Yeah.
I like their song. Yeah, I like their song. But they weren't too friendly. I didn't think they were that friendly. That's it. No.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Okay. Okay, now, you know, now let me ask this, because I had Shirley Jones on the show not too long ago, and one of the things that she had said to in the interview was that one of the reasons why she decided to go solo was because she and the sisters were having problems and issues as far as the lead singing was concerned. And, you know, it became problematic for them as a group, and so she just decided to do her own thing. Was that ever a problem with the Emotions? Because, you know, the parts were so intricate to where we, as a listener, unless we were there personally with you girls, no one can really pinpoint exactly who's doing what at what time. I think we may get probably the best help of understanding you girls individually out of the Best of My Love, because there's this staccato piece in there towards the end where everybody's filling in on that ad lib, and that's probably the one time. This is the one time. Yeah, I'm here. Can you get me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's probably the one time where we can actually get you girls as individuals. But was there ever a time where, you know, the whole idea of who's the lead singer or whatever posed a problem with you?
Well, no, that's why none of us went solo. Because in our group, Sheila led the slow song and sultry. I led the up-tempo and staccato song. And Pam and Jeanette led, like, the Dionne Warwick and, what do you call that, like, Love Five.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, cool. So that was y'all's secret. Okay, because everybody had a place, so y'all didn't have to worry about that. Wonderful.
That's how everybody could lead each other's song in case we have to do it. Let's get someone pick. So we all do our secret
song. Yeah. Because recently, when Wanda had the month night, we did a show of me, Sheila, and YN in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And I did Wanda song. I don't want to lose your love and best of my love. And
all right.
And it, yeah.
Let me ask this because, as I said, you know, your music has helped to shape the world, okay, and a generation, if not more. Here's the thing, because I know that a lot of the songs that you guys, particularly on the Flower and that Rejoice album, those two albums there, I would call those albums contemporary gospel as we know it today, because the messages in a lot of those songs were basically, they were almost sermonettes, if you will. You know, what was that like for you at that time, you know, to stay true to your gospel heritage and then for the message of the music?
Well, you know what was wonderful about that, like Flowers, as well, I was going to say, everywhere we went, even in England, Japan, Spain, I mean, Italy, everywhere we went, people could relate to those lyrics because they saw each other like a flower. And you know how many types of flowers there are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone gets an attitude with a flower.
Unless they're allergic to it, honey.
Yeah, we had writers like Charles Stephanie, Skip Scarborough, Clarence McDonald, Denise Williams. We had writers, Ramsey Lewis, that would write songs that catered to everyone's heart. And therefore, there was no separation as to, oh, wow, what are they singing about, God? Because love has its own
universal
meaning. And and the same thing that David used to play to keep the king from going insane, that's what people play when they play the music of our era.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then you better say that.
Going insane.
You better say that. Now, wait a minute. Press pause, girl. Press pause. Did you just say Denise Williams wrote for y'all?
Well, you know, Denise and Clarence McDonald on the Flowers album, on the first one, Me For You. You know, Me For You.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wrote that. And he was the same writers on the Flowers thing who wrote Denise's stuff, too.
Ooh, yeah. Trivia. I loved it.
And just in a simple way, who wrote that? Denise did that. We sang that on our song.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Now, here's the ticket. Now, let's go here. Over the years, your songs have been sampled, and they have been remade. B&GB has taken I Don't Want to Lose Your Love and made it hers. You know, she done turned it into, she's taken what you girls did with it from the disco era and the poppy dance, and she took it to the hip-hop on the club, got to have a choreo. A combination do-I-diddy with it, honey, because she exploded with that. Patti LaBelle, for her Christmas album, redid What Do the Lonely Do for Christmas. you know, as I said earlier, Mary J. Blige has taken You're the Key to My Heart and, you know, put that as a sample in one of her particular tunes. And most importantly, you girls worked on the remake of Don't Ask My Neighbor with Nancy Wilson. Honey, what was that? What was that?
That was so wonderful. Oh, my gosh. I remember when Stella Bailey, when Nancy called us to see if we'd do it. It was amazing. But she wanted Philip on there also. And we recorded it in a mansion up here in Beverly Hills, or Los Feliz area. And it was just so wonderful. And I was still breastfeeding one of my kids when we were doing that. And it was so, and Nancy was just singing her part, and we was like, dang, if she don't sound like you.
Mm-hmm. She's always been
yeah, because she was always, you know, people would compare her kind of poetry to Nancy.
Uh-huh.
And so it was Philip Bailey, me, and Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
Jeanette.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And her daughters were in there with us. Nancy Wilson's daughters. It was wonderful. They were in there singing with us. It was really cool.
Oh, wow. So when you girls hear of folks, you know, doing the music or gravitating towards the music, you know, especially in this days now where everybody's sampling, and I've come to understand this. Smokey Robinson said something that helped me to understand sampling, and he said, you know, one of the things that he adores about it is the fact that the younger generation is going back to understand where the music comes from. And then also he said monetarily, he said, because back in the day a lot of us didn't know royalties and stuff back then, you know, it also helps the artists and the writers and stuff to get their just due as well. So when he said it like that, he said it in an interview, I was like, okay, I can get it, you know, but I'm old-fashioned, like, okay, you done sold that song, you know, you can't touch the original and this, that, and that, unless, you know, you come from the era where you learned how to cover a song, because, you know, that's what we call it then. You know, you did a cover of it. You know, how was that like for you when you hear these kinds of, you know, these songs? You know, you got legends, Patti LaBelle and Nancy Wilson wanting
that's
to do this, you know.
It's such a compliment.
Mm-hmm. It's a compliment, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It was a compliment to us that mm-hmm. the young people would pull that out. Like Big Daddy Kane, we received Fine Galley.
Yes!
And that was one I sang. But we sang it on the, and the Mariah Carey Emotion. Everybody just saw
mm-hmm.
that. She was on MTV. She called me. Right, because I knew the girl that sang the show. And she called me to ask me, you know, was that okay? And I thought that was the coolest thing. And saw how much she admired us. Yeah. And other people thought we should be mad at Mariah, but I wasn't mad at her.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad people didn't say we sounded like Mariah. I'd rather them say Mariah sounded like me.
Well, now, how about that, Ron? Now, ha! You better say that, Miss Wanda. You better say that. Okay.
Nice. Hammer had produced that on her. I don't know if it was, and they were right
yeah.
in Los Angeles when they were doing it and called me from the studio because they were using the wrong lyrics. And Hammer said, listen, I got your number from a friend of yours, so I got the answer to the first one. I don't want to do that, but he said that second one was the break. I think you need my love. You won't believe my love. They made up other words for that because they didn't know what was the saying. And then, so
oh.
I gave her the key line, and she wrote it down when she was in the studio. So, you know, some of them do reach out to me. And I'm
like, oh,
wow. The guy, the pastor that we saw on the cruise that was in the M.
I don't remember.
That
I know it was about
that movie that came out with all them aliens and Will Smith. Men in Black.
Uh huh. Okay. Yeah, Men in Black.
Black
mm-hmm.
I know him so good. And we saw him, and he said, "Listen, I sampled." He came from
Dr.
the
Dre?
On Tom Joyner Cruise, and he said, "Listen, I sampled y'all things. Like, we had nowhere to send the things to." And you know that was Dear Doctor, and sent it in, and hey, it was on A Feeling Is. Remember?
Oh yeah.
He did Sheila's song.
Mm-hmm.
And he sure did. He reached out for us to find out where to send the funds. So I thought that was incredible.
Oh, wow. See, that, wow. I would just be so, oh, I'm overwhelmed. I'm a big old crybaby. I'm sensitive. And I know how I am, because I'm sitting over here, as I'm listening to you girls go through this, I'm sitting over here trying not to gush and this, that, and the other. And if I'm like this and just in talking to you, I can only imagine what that feeling is when someone said, "I want to, you know, pay homage to your work," and this, that, and the other. And, you know, wow. Wow. You know, wow.
That we have gotten restitution in these times, because when you put anything on a computer or anything, satellite, and I was wondering, I said, where is the text coming from? And it had XM. Well, like I said, that's satellite. So that's when somebody, you know, they can sample your thing, but they put your name on it, but they'll know where it goes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're doing it a lot in a lot of the liner notes and stuff. You know, if they're claiming that they wrote the song, they say, "I wrote, you know, so-and-so wrote it with," and then they give you all the, yes, they do. I don't like downloading music because I can't get the liner notes. That's because I don't like buying albums online, because they don't come with the liner notes. And I want to know who the background girls are screaming on that soprano note, or who's working me on this low tenor note, honey. Ooh! You know, I'm one of them children who do that. And,
okay.
Yes, and it's, now, speaking of that.
Yeah, Mom, you would sing with us, you know, Walking the Line, and some of the other songs we did with Earth, Wind, and Fire. And they would always wonder, who is that guy singing? But he wouldn't put his name on it.
Boogie Wonderland?
Well, they knew it was him on Boogie Wonderland.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's go into that era, because first off, let's clear up something, please. Please,
okay.
please. Because every time I look at that video from that, you know, I think it was a recorded live performance, and it is now serving as the video with Wanda, you in them red hot pants, and y'all doing the thing, doing Boogie Wonderland. During that time, and I love to say that, you know, we had the elements, and then we had the sisters of the elements, the emotions. Ooh, that just sound hot. But during that time, as a child, I remember speculation that, you know, there was a whole bunch of romance between you and Maurice and this, that, and the other. And then, as I found out later on, you know, Phil and Jeanette had to have a child together. And I'm like, okay, clear up whatever the rumor, what was truth and what wasn't.
We were in England about a year ago, and we were in the lobby in London, right, not far from Piccadilly Square. And these people were asking us, "Oh, which one of you, I understand the father of Maurice is the father of one of your babies." And I had never heard that one. I said, "Maurice, father of one of our babies?" So it shows you how things go, you know, awry, but there was a love connection with Philip and Jeanette, and my wonderful niece,
Kaylee,
who can write her tail off. Oh, my God. And she plays guitar. But that was a great thing that came out of that. But sometimes it happens, and which you know, with the groups out here like Lauren and the guys she married with the music, Brandy and her producer, it happens when you're singing love songs and you're talking to each other.
Mhm. Mhm.
You know,
well, yeah, the connection is there, and the emotions are already there. You know, and when you're working with one another, to emote the song correctly, to get the message of the song correctly. Yeah, it does happen. It does happen. Now that experience with EWF, what in that was your lessons out of that? Because here you have all these guys, and then, you know, you three girls, and then your team of people had to go in to work collaboratively. What was your lessons in all of that? Because we all know that the industry is a man's world, and a woman always comes in, you know, at a disadvantage because she's a woman to begin with. And then you had to assert yourself and do all of that. What was that like for you?
Well, we actually had to learn by doing and making mistakes, and then the next time don't do the same mistakes. We had to learn how to copyright our own music.
Are you talking about relations or the biz? Hello?
Yeah, all of the above.
Oh, yeah, he said all of the above. The business and the...
Okay.
Yeah, you know, they were really like all the guys, Larry, Al McCain, Ralph, they were like our big brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell us, hey, don't go over there with that. And they were real healthy content. And they would see us eat something on the road that, oh, don't eat that. Oh, no. Y'all can't have that. Have you had your vitamins? And then Reese got all these vitamins for everybody.
But we
had his own cook backstage cooking for us. And, you know, everybody else went to the choke and puke or to the diner, but he wouldn't let us do that. He made sure we ate right.
Interesting.
There was only,
interesting.
The only romantic.
Okay.
I was just going to make it clear that the only romantic relationship in our business was Jeanette and Philip. From that, we learned not to mix the romance with our business. And I just wanted to say that we always have a business mind, and you know, we had it like that, and we get along better, especially when you're on tour. So you know, we see how men are and how they, even the married ones, you know, how they
right.
So
right.
As far as, you know, when we're working together, it's like we're just another, you know, we're just colleagues. You know, we're colleagues, but we're, you know, that's how the rest of us view it.
Yeah, and then we were teenagers. We all had to go through our crushes. I had a crush on Isaac Hayes, but I don't think he knew it.
Yeah.
But girl, it's that voice, honey. I already know, child.
Yeah. And we were girls, and there was not many girl groups out there. So we were always out there with a bunch of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pretty good.
Right.
And my father was out there. As our manager, so.
Okay. Now. Okay. Now, here's the thing, because. Well, here's the thing. Everybody, you know, we all know sex, drugs, and rock and roll when it comes to the entertainment business. Was your father the staple in making sure that neither one of you were able to, you know, have one of those tragic stories that we hear all the time in the entertainment industry? Or was it by trial and error you said, no, this is not the route that we want to take to be successful?
Well, you just hit it, because we saw so many things happen out on the road. When we were doing that stuff with Tyrone Davis and Johnny Taylor, and we were at the Howard Theater, you know, doing all what they call Chitlin Circuit. And then we were getting delivered packages, and then they come out and offer us this, that, and the other. And you could say yes, or you could say no. And then we just said no, so we didn't want to. It wasn't like, you know, I don't know, wasn't curious about that. But we did see a lot of awful things happen when people did too much drugs. And we saw this guy fall out of a Holiday Inn window, and they pulled him back over and slid his truck. And it's only because he was on cocaine and thought that was an exit. I mean, I was right there in the room. I couldn't believe it. But anyway.
I wasn't on that.
But we saw things happening right in front of us, and then we was on the glass panel, stone, all of them, and we would see the stuff going on. I was like, how can they sing and get this talk? I mean, I used to wonder that,
how could they get that high and sing?
Yeah, I can see how they would.
Wow.
Anytime he goes.
Yes.
Hey.
You know what? Ooh. Now you brought back
Ooh.
The music.
Yeah.
Teresa singing the top on there.
Teresa,
is
baby.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, baby.
Now, we are getting ready to rehearse. We're going to this rehearsal right up here. We're on Hollywood Boulevard at the top. And we're going to rehearse for the August 13th event.
Yes, please tell us about that. The 13, honey, yes. Midnight
yes,
on 13.
And everyone go on Facebook.com/13poetry. Okay, if they go to Facebook.com/13poetry, they will also hear our song, Life, and the event that we're going to sing at that my daughters, who are food teachers, you know. One is an English teacher, math. And they teach adult high school. And they have found a way to merge education and entertainment. And it's called Edutainment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lovely. Ryan, is that you?
Oh, yeah, that's Pam.
No, it's Pam.
Ryan.
Oh, okay.
This is Wendy. Can you hear Wendy?
Okay.
Hey, okay, there you go. Yeah, I've been hearing you in the background, sister. Hey, girl.
Oh, you guys are just having me. I am enjoying this show. Roy, Big Meech, we're going to need to pull you out here and get you emceeing or doing something with us. You were just wonderful.
Oh, but I will welcome that wholeheartedly, honey. My goodness. I'm going to be having a ball with your mom and your aunt. Thank you for obliging. And I know we're talking about the whole edutainment portion. And I want to go into the stuff that's being done now. I know the family has an organization that's simply 13. I love that. When I read that, I was like, 13, that's odd. And then when I read it, that's the whole point. You know, the whole idea of that one person just feeling like they're that odd person out and that underdog. But, you know, and the whole motto is love is for everyone. Love everyone, judge no one. I said, you know what, y'all going to make me backflip to Jesus or kiss him in the mouth or come on back. You know? Okay. Because that's
yeah,
it. Ooh.
Ryan
ahead.
Is
Continue
a creator. Ryan Vaughn, my sister and my mom's daughter, she is the creator of 13, and it's actually blossomed into its own culture. She's a poet and a singer, songwriter, educator, and each of us in the family kind of dibble-dabble in all of those different roles from time to time. But Ryan and I both are actually teachers for Los Angeles Unified School District. And through the different things that we've done, poetry is another way that we can also minister in a way, you know, in our own way, to our students and give them messages that are outside of just, okay, 2 + 2 = 4, but things that make them think and look at life through a different lens. And as we all know, the number 13 often has a negative connotation attached to it. So you have a lot of other things throughout history, black, different things that have had a negative connotation, which really is just a matter of looking at it through a different lens because people don't understand it. So Wyanne was born on April 13th. Her birthday has had the pleasure of falling on Friday the 13th, and we know that there is nothing negative or unlucky about her existence. And so with that, she moves forward into exploring different things about social relations and love and just all kinds of things in this poetry book. And now the event on August 13th will actually be celebrating the liberation of our social mask. She says, you know what, we're going to have a masquerade. People are going to come in, whether they're CEO or janitor. Everyone tends to go out and put on this face from, you know, to just go through their days. And she wants us to remember that core of us and what makes us all united as people. And that is completely along and aligned with the mission of the family's actual company, which is called Wisdom, Love, and Vision. And that is to spread love and respect through entertainment and education. So we do these things because it's important to give back and to help people learn about, you know, whether it's their math and English, of course, that's important, but sometimes learning more about themselves and life skills and things to make them better people in our community, that is what we strive to do. And so the event August 13th at Pasadena City College here in California, we are going to put on an event, and there's a donation, a standard donation of $50 that goes toward the events of the evening, a wonderful gourmet dinner, a live performance by The Emotions, as well as an independent artist who has quite a following. Her name is Nicole. She is amazing. You can find out more about her on www.nicole.com, and Nicole is spelled N-I-K-K-O-L-E. She's actually been nominated for a Grammy as well for different songs and things that she's put out, and she has a song with The Emotions as well as YN and I, and it will be her first onstage performance doing that with the legends, my mom and aunts and everybody. So it'll just be a really great night, and proceeds will be donated to the foundation that the family has started, which is educating through edutainment. That is the mission. We go out into the community and teach people about health, financial literacy, how to get into college, and all of those kind of things. So more information can be found on all of that as well on the website, which is still currently being put together. So I'll give that quickly, which is www.wisdomlovevision.com. And it's all spelled out just as it sounds, wisdomlovevision.com. And then they can also get us maybe a little quicker and directly on facebook.com/13poetry, the number 13 poetry. So, yeah.
All right. I'm putting that up here in the tea room so that the folks that are there can do their thing.
Yeah. It's been so nice talking with you.
Okay, my darling. Oh, honey. Yes, thank you so much. Now, as you girls go into the... As you girls do that, I have a caller that's coming in. I'm going to bring her in. But 818-621 is the number. But before you go, somebody asked, did Bill Withers give y'all flack over covering his song?
Oh no, he was wonderful about it. He couldn't control his emotions.
Stop! you like that? Okay, sisters, y'all go ahead on and rehearse. I'm gonna bring in this next caller, and then I'm going to let the audience hear the new song that's soon to be released. Life, honey. Yes, oh yes. We're gonna play the new song, and then I'll give everybody information all over again. Wendy, you stand with me?
Yes, I am still here. I will stay with you, and I believe
okay.
I have something in.
We love you,
big
man. Well, I love you right back. Oh, honey, y'all don't know what y'all just did for me. You don't know what you did to me, honey.
Yes.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Bye.
Okay, have a good rehearsal, baby. Thank you. I'm going right here. Wendy is still with me. And this is Miss Wendy Vaughn. And I'm coming over here to 818-621. Come on in. 818-621. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Big Meech. How are you doing?
I am divinely delicious, darling. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. This is YN. I was trying to get in the whole time, and I don't think that I made it in until right now.
Oh, yeah. On my computer screen, your hand just went up to say that you were running to talk. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I think I was pressing it before, but it didn't go through. How are you?
Baby, I'm everything, and everything is me, honey. Oh, thank you so much for, that was a beautiful segue. The mom and the aunt had to go into the studio. They hid you come on in. Yeah, I love it. Baby, as Wendy was laying this out.
I am a fan of everything I've been hearing. You are over here doing your acting and your singing and everything and listening to my mom and them performing and covering their songs. I'm beyond proud of you. Let me say that.
Oh, well, thank you, honey. You know, it's easy for me. When you appreciate music as I do, I'm very musically eclectic. You know, I listen to practically everything. No, not practically. I listen to everything. You know, there's certain genres I may not run to as a whole, but there's elements of everything that I listen to. And when you have such artistry as your mom and your aunts, honey, I still have that in my iTunes. As I told them, you know, with my female impersonation shows, I pull them out, you know. You know, I pull them out and put them into my catalog so that I can still keep the music alive, keep the music fresh. And, you know, I'm not one of these little booty dancers like these little young kids are, honey. So, you know, I have to do something that's age appropriate as far as I'm concerned.
That
still gives a good feeling. And see, as long as the music has a message that is positive and it keeps moving and it transcends everything, honey, I'm there with it. I'm on it. I'm on top of it. So there's where I am. And, you know, as you girls coming into the world the way that you have, and I know you have two other siblings, coming into this and understanding mom is mom, but then you have the world who knows mom as the emotions. You know, this is my family. What was that like for you growing up?
Wow. Oh, that's a great question. Wendy, you got that one?
Well, you know, I've had the experience of seeing other people come up to my mother that I, like, you know, kind of like, ooh, Angie Stone, ooh, Jimmy Foster, ooh. And these people, you know, that are brought to tears just seeing her and touching her. And I'm just like, wow, this is mom. And mom and dad have always raised us extremely, I guess you could say, quote, unquote, normal, even though at the same token it wasn't normal because we'd come home from different events with our friends and Danny Glover and Stevie Wonder would be over, or we'd be singing at the ages of 13 and 14 in the Baked Potato in Old Town Pasadena when we had to be up at school the next night and on stage with Nancy Wilson and Brian McKnight. So it was normal for us, but other people didn't necessarily think that was normal. And so, but it was always very level-headed. So when we see how others look at mom and them, even sometimes when our students, since we do teach, find out, or their parents find out, and they're bringing in CDs, like, you know, the crew, like, no, we're not actually here to talk about Johnny's test scores. We're here to get an autograph.
Okay.
Right.
No,
okay,
Wendy.
Take this home.
Wendy,
and
I want
your
to
mama to sign
on
this for me.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And what you say, what happens, or what I could say from that same question is, it's humbling, but at the same time, it's a power. It's a sense of connecting that you can do with, you know, our students or our students' parents or whatever the case might have you. And when we do get to use our, you know, our musical prowess or the fact that we can relate to students and other people on various levels, whether it be with poetry or with the singing or with the, you know, anything like that, it's empowering. And with that power, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So there's always a sense of, like my sister said, my dad raised us to be humble and quote unquote normal. So in one arena of our lives, you know, we're students, because Wendy just got accepted to her master's program. I'm in my master's program. We're both teachers, so we teach students every day at Crenshaw High, right here where I kind of, like, am right now. And but then at the same time, we leave from here, and I'm on a plane doing a show with my mom and the Stylistics and the Temptations, and the next thing you know, where I was just a teacher and Miss Y or Miss Vaughn in Crenshaw, you know, in L.A., next thing you know, Raven Simone and Jamie Foxx are getting on stage with us, and they're going crazy over us. Like, do you know who your mom is? Do you know how much they've influenced us? And it's just this weird place that I think my sisters and my little brother and I have all gotten to be in, because it's like, you know, on one end of our stick, we're these regular, you know, people, teachers or whatever, and then when we're in a different state, or, you know, when you see us in a different light, it's totally different, and we're you know, in limos and, you know, red carpets and this and that. So it's really humbling to be able to live both of those lives and not have an ego, not have a big head. Like my dad is a big firm believer in never reading your own rap sheet. So he'll be like, when people learn that he wrote Let's Groove Tonight, or he works with Earth, Wind, and Fire and things like that, they come up to him mad, like, you didn't tell me you worked with Will Smith and these people, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I didn't know I was supposed to tell you. And it's the same thing.
How about that one?
You know, I mean, you know, because that's not what we're here for. That's not what it's about. But like I say, it's a power piece, because you can use those sorts of things with certain populations to get into them, but more so to do God's will or to teach a lesson than to say, oh, yeah, do you know who I am? You better check my rap sheet. I work with Snoop, or I work, you know, that's not the point of anything that we're doing. But we have it to use. And like I say, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think that why I enjoy being who I am and a part of my family is that we end up using that power wisely, and we don't abuse it. And I think because we don't abuse it, God continues to bless us with more things.
Okay, well, dig that.
Certainly.
You know, I'm living for that. But, you know, I meant to tell your mother this, because, see, y'all in these W's, honey, when I looked at this, I said, okay, we done found somebody. Y'all need to do a Sesame Street episode. This is brought to you by the letter W, honey. Wayne,
no,
Fonda, Y-E,
no.
Wendy, Whitney.
Yes.
Okay. I'm
yes.
Missing a name.
Wayne, Fonda, Wayne, Wendy, Y-E, Whitney, Warren. Well, all the
there
girls are Louise, all the boys are Lee, all the initials are WLV, all of our last names are Vaughn. The first two checks I got in the school district went to got paid to my sister, because they got paid under WL Vaughn. Everybody in my family, WL Vaughn. They see a check for WL Vaughn, everybody run to the doggone bank right there and take my money. That's how we do it, all right?
But you know what? I ain't mad, though. I am not mad, because...
Well, you know what? That actually is where the name of the company comes from. Wisdom Love and Vision is the parent
company.
Wisdom
Love and Vision. You know what? You better...
You see it. You get it. You get it. You get it. That's exactly WLV. Wisdom Love and Vision. That's where we got... That's all of our initials, and it's literally what our... it's kind of like our life mission statement. It's what we're embodied in. If you don't have the education and the wisdom, and you can ask any of my geometry students or algebra students how I teach them, if you don't have some sort of wisdom as you go through this world, then you're losing, I mean, off the bat. And if you do anything for any monetary gain or artificial reason, you're not doing it out of love, and you'll end up failing. And if you don't have people who are on your same team who see the same vision as you, then you're not united, and it's easy to be divided if you're not united. So it's like... we stand for our initials. Wisdom, Love, and Vision is in our family. Like music is
baby,
our family. I told my sister we would be alive if it wasn't for music. Literally. My mom from Chicago, South Central. They would have never met. Had it not been on the road, they would have never met.
Wow. Isn't that profound? That is so profound. No, and see, I'm one who gets into metaphors and spiritual connections and stuff like that, because, see, that's ordination. That is ordination at its finest, coming from the Omniverse. And
yes,
wow, that there is just sitting to me right now. So
yes,
I'm just
sir.
Tickled. I'm tickled. Now, you know what? Here we go, because I told the girls I have to play this song, because what we
yes.
just said is just the title of this song. It's life. You know, it is just life, plain and
certainly.
Simple. You can't, oh, yeah, come on, girls. Now, let's go.
Everything has to change when you live in thought and the faith.
It all in the archives in just a few moments. If you're by on the phone, stay there. Don't hang up. We're going to keep going and close this on out the proper way, okay? So, yes, I just had to get that in so when it stops streaming, folks don't think I'm being rude. Ugh. But, baby, wait a minute. See, that girl is that Pam or your mom on that last note, baby, that holler? That's Pam.
Right. Mommy.
That's Pam.
That's Mom. That's Mom.
No, that's
Mom. Oh, yeah, that's Wanda. Surely.
Baby! Whoever it is. I'm like, y'all gonna let me have this song. Like I told you at the beginning of the show, that song, it's breathtaking, okay? And what I love about it is that it has enough of a groove to start you know, you can play that. I see that the family reunion and stuff, like I said earlier, but not that whole depressing kind of, I mean, you know, we all know the same songs, but it doesn't get into that whole depressing mood to them when you look around, oh, granny ain't here no more. You know, that whole thing just gives you, you know what I'm saying, okay?
Right.
And it gives you that pick me up, because when you think about life, it's just life, honey. And so you can still groove to it and still get your move on, honey. As long as you move,
right.
I always say, as long as you got breath and on this side of creation, honey, everything is moving in the right direction. And I love this particular piece. I love this. And then these girls, baby, they up here in their 60s and carrying on still sounding like this. This is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Okay? It is ridiculous.
We're so happy that you like it. We are so happy and
appreciative. I love this. This is beyond life, honey. You like peanut butter, honey. I love this.
Well, you are hilarious. I think you know that already.
This song was a product of, you know, of course, Mom and Aunties, Wyatt and I, as well as Terrace Martin, wrote the lyrics and the melody and the music came together with Joseph Lineberg as well. So, you know, it was a wonderful project. And those lyrics, you know, like, we hadn't heard it in a while. And when we put it out on YouTube and the response that we got and re-listening to those lyrics, and Wyatt put a little YouTube video together on it, and it was just one of those things that even since writing the song, we ourselves have also experienced life in it. Thought we were out of the game and never knew we missed it, you know, because people are quick to say, well, where have they been? Where have they gone? You know, and we're still doing stuff. We're still in the game, the emotions, and we're still doing, you know, and, you know, it's almost like, what have you done for me lately syndrome. Everybody starts to, you know, we all have those moments where, you know, people think we've dropped off, but we're still kicking. We're still doing it.
Right.
You
know? Okay, yeah. Dig that. Dig that. Now, what does that feel like now that, you know, you guys are go into the shows, you know, the emotions, the next generation or whatever. Do you feel like that, or do you just feel as though, no, I'm just an emotion, honey? You know, we're just emotions. Okay, we're just emotions. We don't have to be the next generation or anything.
Yeah, that's a pretty big cross to wear, you know, a pretty big shadow is what my mom and her sisters cast. So, you know, it's an honor, and it's something that we want to make sure that we do justice by. But at the same time, we, you know, I think their calling and the blessing that was on their music is found in our music, but at the same time, our music is different. And what we were called to do with our gifts is just a bit different from my mom's era and what they've been called to do. So we definitely take pieces and the spirit of their music into all that we do. But we also, I think with my sister and me, we're big advocates of being able to tell everyone's story. And that's part of the beauty of 13. Is 13 is not all pretty. 13 is not,
no, it's not.
All, it's just not the cookie cutter. And sometimes my mom in the music, there is this cookie cutter beauty to it, overall timelessness that goes with it. And I think our music is timeless in a way that it tells the story that nobody necessarily wants to tell, but people know that it exists. People know that there are people who are recovering from substance misuse. People know that there are teen moms who have given up and are trying not to keep going, but they do. People know that, you know what I'm trying to say, that there are certain stories that people know exist, but nobody writes a story or a song or a poem for these populations, and that's where 13 comes to play, because it's not afraid to talk about, you know, the oh my God, I think the dropout rate at Crenshaw High and around LAUSD is something ridiculous. I want to say it's like 3 times the national average or something like that. And the kids that I see and the families that we work with and stuff like that, these kids have reasons. There's stories. There's a reason why there needs to be an adult school or a school for alternative education, because the traditional school system failed them. There's reasons why these types of stories exist, but these are also the stories that people don't tell. So that's where 13 comes into play. That's where Wendy and YN and the fam and our music, that's where all of that comes into play big time.
We also have a project that we're working on producing, because one thing that my dad definitely taught us with today's music is people who go in there and mathematically put together a beat on the computer, who they never took a voice lesson or a theory lesson or picked up an actual instrument, they're scared of touching the black keys on the keyboard. You're like, what?
Exactly.
You know,
did you say the black keys were a setup?
Right. They're quick to call themselves producers, but the true meaning of a producer is being able to bring something that my dad and that we call a germ, you know, an idea, and really bring it to the record, bring it to life, and call in the different people, the musicians, the vocalists, and the engineers, and to really fit with that stuff and make it come to life. So the fam, which is more so the fam, you know, me, Warren, YN, and Whitney, the siblings, and along with our constituents, because we have a couple of people in the camp, up-and-coming new talent, like the Robert Townsend's daughter, Skylar Townsend. We also have
this
next generation of hit makers that are, and so the project we're working on brings another element that's extremely artistic and experimental, but because of, you know, the YouTubes and the internet and some of the ways that we can create music now, each of us having our own studio, you know, by way of our computer and actually knowing how to do these things, we can produce some really amazing things that tell these stories Wyan is talking about through different ways. So one of those projects is actually called The Good, Bad, and Ugly, and all of us are going to be featured on that. And we still keep, don't get me wrong, we are still writing music that make you want to get up and dance and tell a good love story or tell about, you know, some heartache as well as some love, you know, some real love.
Right.
We tell all those different shades and all the different colors because it is what occurs. And we can also even bring in elements of the dramatics. You know, you say that you're an actor and you know that music and acting, that stuff goes hand in hand. So the project really brings that into to boot, and we're really excited about that.
Right. And I think that's the other good portion. Wendy brought up a good point so far as the music of today. I think I also work with the West Coast rap legend, one of the first females to really ever do it over here, Miss Yolanda Yo-Yo Whitaker. I work with her at her Yo-Yo School of Hip Hop, and that's on right out here in South Central L.A., and one of the things that we talk with our kids about when we mentor them, teach them everything from writing raps and writing lyrics to making sure they know how to write a beat so far as, you know, making their presence sound audibly appealing on a record or whatever the case might be, and also being able to teach them things like sticking to your subject, sticking to your topic, using metaphors, using similes, what are these things, what do they mean? So it's the whole, what my mom was talking about earlier, the concept of edutainment, which is educating young people through entertainment. Another good part that we talk about with them is the fact that lyrics matter. And I think something that gets lost in the young music of today is the fact that they think for their music to sell, they have to disrespect or cuss or...
Or the
lyrics just basically mean nothing. So that's why when I polled like kids that I work with, I asked them, what part of a song do you listen to? And I think lyrics were last and the beat was first. So they listen to a beat, if they're able to shake their booty and do whatever they got to do to it, that's the type of song that gets on the radio and that gets played these days. And it's like, that's why you can have, not to diss anybody, but it's just a drawing the comparison. You have people like, you know, Soulja Boy or whatever, who can say anything on a record and it sells and it goes over well because nobody's listening anyway. So it's like I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg, but because they're not saying anything, these kids aren't listening. And because the people don't listen, artists aren't compelled to write compelling lyrics anymore. And I just don't feel that that's what we were called to do. So at the same time, when I'm mentoring young kids in the game about where they rap or singing or lyric making or whatever, I always promote the fact that lyrics matter and that you can have songs that say good points and are positive or just not negative in general, and they can go over well. It doesn't have to be that you're disrespecting people and it does nothing for the population that listen to it, because music is a spiritual thing.
Exactly. And then, too, that you don't have to be worried about wanting to live up to this industry-made image. You know,
right.
A lot of that stuff is because the industry has said that we want this particular image, and a lot of folks get caught up in that whole idea of that and feel
right.
They need to carry that on. And so they become more obnoxious as they do each project in order to stay up or stay, quote-unquote, real with the image of who this character is supposed to be. So,
Right. Yeah.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah, I tell young people, like, we were talking, we had this same talk with Robert Townsend's daughter, Skylar Townsend, who is an amazing writer, singer, and everything. We were just talking about knowing yourself before you come into the industry, because if you walk into this music industry not knowing who you are, some record exec, some A&R, some person who looks nothing like you, knows nothing about you, is going to tell you who you are, and the scarier part is you're going to believe them. So you can be a young girl with, you know, your own life story coming out of Compton, South Central LA, California, but if they tell you you're the next Britney Spears, you're going to be the black Britney Spears, and you think in your head, okay, well, I don't know who I am, so everything I do, I'm going to emulate this black Britney Spears. I'm going to be this Britney Spears, this pop, this icon, this I don't have any cares in the world, when you ain't got lights on at the house because your mom is a single mother and you guys don't have enough income to even pay a Section 8 rent. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
You're living a life that is not your own, and because you don't know, you don't see it or you don't know what's real, you sit here in an identity crisis. By the time you're 30, you're just figuring out what 16-year-olds know about themselves, you know? So
exactly.
You've got to watch that in this industry. This industry will eat you if you don't know yourself. The industry has the potential to. Does it always? No. But, you know, a lot of these young people, they see a Justin Bieber, they blow up quick on YouTube, and that's all they want to do. I want to get on YouTube and become a star overnight. I don't want to be educated about the industry. I don't want to know anything. And then next thing you know, that's how they come out, and these are some 20 and 30 year olds, 14 and 15 year olds in the head.
Exactly.
In the head.
That's scary. That's real. And then a lot of folks don't want to put in the work. A lot of people misunderstand the amount of work. And we always say everybody need to work hard, but I always say you need to work smart. That way you last longer, because there's a way to do this. That you're gonna pay your dues, but you got to work smart in this so that you have a quality product in this, that, and the other. And that there is what I appreciate over the years. Your mom and them has given us, they started in this business before I got here. And I played a song that went all the way back to 67, 3 years before me. So they've been in this business at least 45 years, at least.
Yes.
So with that, you know, I appreciate and I adore everything that the emotions and the sisters of the earth, the sisters of the elements, the emotions. I love that. I think we'll put that on a T-shirt.
Yeah,
I like saying that. That's hot.
Yes.
The sisters of the elements, honey, the emotions. Oh, that is hot.
Yes.
Oh, that's an intro. That's an intro. That's an intro. It is. Now, with your poetry book, your book of poetry and things, please let everybody know where they can do it, and please announce the show again, one more again, and the donation prices, and please say that one more time.
Oh, most certainly. Okay, so the poetry book is called 13, and it's on blurb.com. So far as being able to obtain it on the internet. However, if you go to facebook.com/13 and poetry, 13 poetry, 13, P-O-E-T-R-Y, you'll be able to learn where you can buy the albums, the Good, Bad, Ugly, my sister Wendy was talking about a little earlier. You'll be able to see where you can contact Wisdom, Love, and Vision, where you'll be able to talk to my mom, where you'll be able to get the book, and you'll also be able to attend a Midsummer's Night 13, which is the next what I call 13 event that'll be happening Saturday, August 13th at Pasadena City College's Piazza, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. The address there is 1570 East Colorado Boulevard, and we're going to be closer to the corner of Colorado and Hill Ave. And in this particular event is a $50 standard donation. These donations will go to your all-you-can-eat gourmet dinner buffet that you'll be served. It'll also go to the Be Liberated Foundation, which you can find more information about if you log on to facebook.com/13poetry. It will also be looking to honor some very 13 people, and 13 again is just a concept of loving everyone and judging no one. It's resilience personified. It's people who have been knocked down by life who get back up, and they, like I say, 13 is get down, but we don't stay down. We, even if it's the same demon we've been battling for years, the fact that we get up and battle him again and don't say, okay, you have the victory and I have the defeat, that's 13. Just the perseverance, the always looking to strive forward, the always doing good, the loving in spite of people being unlovable towards you, all of that is 13, and that's what we stand for.
All right, honey. And I'm going to say one more thing, because 13 is always good, because a baker's dozen of donuts is 13, damn it.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
my Lord.
Just when you thought them Krispy Kremes the thing was done, and they gave you one extra. Ooh.
That's
okay.
Right.
Oh, dear goodness. Honey, it has just been a pleasure. I know you're at work and carrying on, and I don't want your principal and thing getting on you. And Wendy, yeah, yeah, okay. Hello. I used to work at an adult education center. Well, it was a Second Chance High School for, I was security supervisor. So it taught me how to get in touch with this younger generation, the 16, 17-year-olds and stuff, and I really understand the importance of the teachers there. So I'm going to let you get back to doing what it is that you do and
thank
the way that you do it. And I thank you. Girl, I thank you so much for coming in when you did, honey. And, this has just been an eye-opener for me. I love it, and I'm just overjoyed right now. I'm so full. It's ridiculous.
Yes. This was an incredible show. I had it on speaker so that my students could listen to you all while you were going. My students were learning, like, your mom sing that song? Your mom sing that song? Oh, they was just sitting here going crazy right now. So this Oh yeah, I had the students listening the whole time before I chimed in. So we were chimed in with you this whole. Let me see what my phone says. I got an hour and 50 minutes. I've been on the phone with you guys. So we've been all together. Trust me, it's been a family.
I'm glad that.
Oh yeah. It's been a pleasure. Such a pleasure. Oh yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and we will talk again very, very soon, honey. Thank you again.
Certainly. You have a good one, okay?
Thank you, honey. You be a good one. You hear me?
That's right. I don't got no other choice. I'll do it.
Okay.
Okay, baby. Bye.
All right. Ciao. Oh, honey, can you stand it? Can you stand it? Oh, I'm so full right now. It's crazy. It is crazy. Oh, praise God. Praise God. So, yes, honey. Yeah. Okay. I told y'all I was on fumes. And, yeah. But I feel full. I feel honored. I feel blessed. Yes. I feel gifted. I feel purged. I feel connected. I just feel all of my emotions, okay? And thank you to the legendary emotions for coming in and doing their thing. They cut out a little early because, of course, they were on their way to a rehearsal and getting ready for their show on August 13th. And then we had the daughters of Wanda to come on in and to grace us with their presence and to continue the story as we all do. They're running this race, honey, and if you look at life as a relay race, not necessarily the 50-yard dash, although sometimes we may feel like we're doing that, but if we look at life as a relay race, you know, everybody has to pass the baton to the next person. You can only go so far, and then you pass the baton to the next person. And that there is, I love WLV, their family structure. Isn't that sickening? That there is sickening. WLV, their initials, everybody has the same initials in the family, and they've decided to create the passion or the essence of the family has become an organization that is here to give nurture, to nurture and to guide and to help and to be of service to the community as a whole. And wow, okay, that just, I'm perkumped on that. So with that, I hope it is my praise report. I'll go further, honey. It is my praise report that you guys were thoroughly entertained today and that you guys got a piece of legendary history here and had fun with me. For those of you who love me, please tell a friend. Honey, for those of you who hate me, tell an enemy. But do know one thing. This will go forward. Okay, I love you. I thank you all for listening. I'm going to go out because I said I was going to start playing the commercials and to give hello to my sponsors. So let me do this because y'all know I get tied up into this, and I gotta do this real quickly so that we say hello to those who help me be me.
Hey, are you looking for that special place to take someone for a good down-home southern meal and some live entertainment? Well, have I got the place for you. Right here in the underground Atlanta, we have the Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge. Enjoy southern hospitality and southern fusion cuisine. This is the perfect place to dine and mingle while experiencing a home-like atmosphere. Stop by and enjoy invigorating jazz and blues music with live entertainment on the weekends. We're open Monday through Saturdays. Lunch is served from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. Dinner served from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. Appetizers from 10 p.m. until close. Sunday brunch, 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. If you are a government employee, military personnel, or an airline employee, you will enjoy a 10% discount on all of your dine-in food. Located in the underground Atlanta, right there at Kenny's Alley in the heart of Atlanta, you have the Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge. For more information, contact them at 404-348-4300. That's 404-348-4300. Or go online and look them up at www.dinegapeach.com. That's www.dinegapeach.com. The Georgia Peach Restaurant and Lounge. Southern hospitality and Southern fusion cuisine. You're dishing tea with Big Meech right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. The dream has become a vision. The vision has become reality. After 12 years of committing to an organization that taught liberation theology, leaving because of having outgrown the teachings of that institution, facing the crossroads of deciding to return to traditional religious teachings or to move forward in the newness of spiritual awareness. The time has come where Detroit native and internet talk show host Big Meech shares with the world what has been placed on his heart. Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey, is a collection of blogs that motivates, inspires, and encourages a reader to explore the depths of who they are and stimulate spiritual growth and development. It is designed to stimulate conversation and dialogue as readers share their own experiences of what the offerings in the book mean to them. Whether the reader agrees or disagrees with what it has to offer, Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey, the dialogue created and generated from discussions will be a catalyst for introspection, healing, and personal development. For more information or to get your copy, please go to www.facebook.com/awakebigmeech or download your copy to your Kindles, smartphones, or iPads at www.smashwords.com. Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey. Are you ready? Are you ready to take the journey? Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey.